5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, back on The Usual Suspects on an FYF Friday. It's Barry, Nick, and Joel. Well, Barry, Joel, and kind of Nick. Who has openly been honest with us in expressing his desire to not be here. But I think that
makes two of us. I wish he wasn't here either.
That is the end result of good time had by all last night at the listener appreciation party. We do see all of your messages reaching out to us that the signal had some issues. Hopefully it's back up and running. But again, we always remind you, easiest, best way to solve that and never have to deal with that again, download the app, take us wherever you go. Makes it a lot better signal and a lot clearer, crisper audio, regardless, I think we're back and functioning again, thankfully. Wanted to remind you again that our comedian of the week, this week, Grady Pruitt, up and coming comedian. Barry gave you a bit of a preview. If you missed it, go check the podcast, but we've got clips coming up 2:15, 3:15. Also at 2:30, we will have that Canadian defense attorney, Allison Craig, who wrote the article that I tweeted out that gives you a little bit of background and insight into Canadian law and what's going down with the Roberto Osuno case. She's also a sports fan and a big Blue Jays fan, so she can give you every different thing as in terms of perspective, like even if the Blue Jays were going to want this guy back regardless, were they just going to cut him? And lots of things to get into the insight of the law. So that'll be fun as well.
I like it. That's a good get, dude. You definitely get the gold star this week for that.
Appreciate it. Just trying to make sure that the suspects have what they want and need. And the feedback I got from you guys was great that we all witnessed. And so we just figured, hey, let's just get her on the show.
Now, unless Rachel comes through with Mia Khalifa today, and then that'd you might lose your gold star.
I get that, and I'm fine with that. It's all part of the show.
Nick's like, please not today. I don't have the game.
I can't perform.
I wouldn't even know what to tell her. Like, I wouldn't know what to say.
You'd be like, hey, welcome to the show. I don't
got any hangover remedies?
That tweet kind of went wild for you, bud.
It did. I think it got like almost, 150, 150 retweets?
You're over 150 at this point. We're doing our level best to get you in there. So,
might be a success story.
What you do at that point, after we get her on the phone, it's all on you.
Here's the story of a man named Nicky. I almost walked in today and go, hey, Nick, forgot my laptop.
Can I use yours? Yeah. He was not falling for that.
Slide it down to the table. Hey, Barry, take this.
Yeah. Hey, let's get Lawrence's call. He's been holding for a minute. He wants to talk about the party. Lawrence, what's up?
Hey, man, that was nice, man. I had a good time. And I tried to shake Barry's hand. I forgot, man. So my bad, man. You gotta give me a hand. And there's another thing. Everybody was on that, Where's Waldo? Who was OU Mike kick yesterday? They were just trying to find who was OU Mike all night. That's all I heard. Is that OU Mike? And one more thing. That's why Trey, Juggalo Trey, you stole the show, man.
All right, man. Appreciate the call, Lawrence. Yeah, you know, a lot of people would come up to me and be like, hey, what's up? Hand out, like, to shake my hand. They're like, oh, I listen all the time. And I would be like, obviously not, because I'm not shaking. You can bump these knuckles. That's about it. Like, I really feel like if you were to run a black light over my knuckles, it would just be filthy. at the end of the night.
Because Charlie took a page out of your book. He was doing that too.
Knuckle bumping?
Yeah.
Smart man. Do you know how many penis hands were in the crowd last night? If there were 500 people, I'm going to go out on the limb and say maybe over 800 pair or 800, 400 pair. So it was knuckle bumps and elbow touches all night long with me. And I think I shook like three hands and it was all sponsors. I'll shake a sponsor's hand. Rest of y'all? No. No. Yeah, so it was.
I was shaking hands. Bro,
you were hugging. Yeah.
I was fine.
Nice. Touching.
No.
Docking.
There was none of that.
Crossing swords. No.
No.
Okay.
No. And by the way, on the Juggalo Trey front, Mr. I Love to Be on Radio was hiding in the back a lot. Then I saw him because he heard, evidently, that the egg rolls from China Garden are off the chain. So I saw him take his mound of food back in the back. He took one bite of the egg roll and he threw it in the garbage at Jong's desk.
I go, what?
What are you doing? And he's like, yeah, that was, I was influenced the wrong way. Everybody said they were going to be great and I normally don't like them. So I figured I'd try them. And then I took a big bite and realized I didn't make the right decision.
Really?
I was like, dude, we only have so many of those. And people fight up. Luckily, I guess they called Carol because Carol was at the party. So they told Carol. Carol called back to China Garden and they brought another batch of those egg rolls. Those egg rolls were unreal.
Oh, they're so good.
Wow.
What I didn't get, everyone was like, did you have the wings?
I did not either.
And they said that those smoked wings were amazing. And I missed out. I ended up just getting, I got a couple slices of pizza. I got a beef burrito and an egg roll.
I did the burrito and an egg roll, and it was good. But I'll tell you this, too good. Because you asked me where I was. I was like,
yeah, I looked up.
I haven't had anything deep fried in a long time. And as good as the egg roll was, I was sitting there talking to some people, and all of a sudden, I got the message. I got the urgent message from the boiler room that was like, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, hey, you know what? You guys stay right there. I'll be back. I came back like a half hour later, and Barry's looking at me like, dude, where you been? I've been playing Papa Shot by myself with these people. I'm like, you don't want to know now, and I don't want to tell you because you might tell the whole world, but.
Now you did.
Now I did the next day because I didn't have to pay for it in front of everybody.
But I was like, I told Nick, I was like, Nick, where the hell is Joel? I'm sweating. I'm exhausted. I can't. All these people want a piece of the champ. Go get Joel. He was like, what do you want me to do?
And then I told him, I was like, I'm gonna go grab a drink and then I'm gonna go take your spot. And I never came.
He never came back.
Well, like, played,
you guys,
Nick.
Are dicks. I'm over here Papa shotting my ass off. I'm exhausted. Sweating. I hit a 3-point hook shot. Nick will never admit it. But before,
Nick told me you weren't even close.
You are so, I hate you sometimes. Like, why can you not just give me my moment of truth, by the way? Truth. Not that I'm making it up and want you to go along with a lie.
You made it after your, like, 26th attempt. Oh, yeah, you made it.
I still made it. A 3-point hook shot. After all these years, satisfaction and redemption is mine.
Glad everybody saw. Never mind.
Never you
mind, sir.
Yeah.
Hey, what? Troy's on hold. Troy, who I believe was visiting Nick yesterday.
I didn't see him at the party, though. Did he show up?
He said he couldn't make it. Troy, what's up?
What's going on, guys?
Troy, why didn't you wait till a break so we could have come out and Barry could have fist bumped you and I could have said what's up?
Man, I wanted to, but I got to tell you guys, that was the coolest thing I think I've ever experienced, getting to come back there. So Nick was gracious enough to hook me up with tickets, and I had an obligation last night I could not get out of, but that really super awesome lady there took me on a tour by myself, and I got to see you guys in studio. So afterwards, I get in my truck. I get it started, turn on the AC. I call my wife. You ain't going to believe what just happened to me. I was in studio, got to see the guys, walked around, shook hands with people, and then I started calling my man bros. And the last one I talked to, I was so excited about getting to do all that. Last thing he said to me was, dude, I think you got a chub right now, don't you? And I thought about it for a minute. I thought, you know what? I think I do.
It was
really, really cool. And I will not miss the next one. I mean, it was just really awesome to get to see you guys back there. And like I said, just get to see the whole operation. it looked really first class. It was awesome.
That's great, Troy. We're glad you got to experience that, and I hope you do get to make the next one.
Yes, sir, I will. Thank you, guys.
All right, bud.
I said thank you for hooking me up.
No, I'm not telling him.
Esme's great. Nick gave you a chub, and we appreciate you being a part of the show, man. So have
always
a great weekend.
Yeah.
Troy's always great, so we appreciate that. Yeah, I mean, that's the thing, too. The only thing I felt bad about, too, was that because it was, you know, you had to win the tickets and all that, that there's so many people that you want to take care of, so many loyal suspects that have been there since the beginning.
Yeah, you want to, you feel like, you almost feel obligated to hang out with everybody, and you can't. There's so many people that I didn't get to really hang with that I wanted to, that listened to the show, but I tried to be as mobile. Like, I didn't want to be anchored to the Papa Shot because
me
I
either.
Also felt like I was not being able to hang out with everybody if I did that. And
I was giving
and it
certain
wasn't
people,
working.
Well, yeah, because the Papa Shot, that was just, that's,
that,
we'll
that
blame
faded
it on mechanical
hour.
Error, but that was terrible. Because I was giving people tours because they're like, where do y'all do the show? And I was like, this Nick's room. You know, Nick
was doing tours too.
Yeah.
I didn't do any tours. Somebody was like,
Lance didn't either. He put his feet up and just started using his joystick.
In fact, somebody was like, so are we allowed to walk around? I was like, yeah, if you go that way, you see a bunch of stuff. If you go that, that's about as toury as I got. I was like, I ain't walking people around. No.
I did see two people walk into David Gao's office. I'm like, if you want to have another one of these fellas, probably
get out of
here.
Did someone
right
admit stealing tequila out of David Gao's office on the air today? It was on the morning show.
I don't know that.
No.
Yeah, I think someone admitted to that.
Somebody just texted and said, listening to The Bench this morning, Lance told the story of John, who tried to start a prison-style race war between Dell and La Raza.
That is true.
Did that happen?
That was
what you were talking about?
Yeah, Richard and I were right next to when it happened.
Goodness.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That is true.
USA Mike said, Barry, I'll be your bodyguard at the next party. I appreciate that, bud. We got to get you into the next one.
There you go. Yeah, that's why I said, that's why we got to have another one.
Yeah.
Because everybody who missed out is really feeling bad, and everybody that partook had a great time by all. So
yeah, and everyone's asking to know you might show up, so you can stop texting. No,
we were
but
disappointed.
Every old white man that was there, they would be like, is that OU Mike, is that him,
the
old,
did you see
tall,
Candy's
skinny,
tweet?
Bald white guy.
Candy got in and she said, I had so much fun last night, other than everyone kept asking my boyfriend if he was OU Mike.
Shut up. That is, oh my god, that's hilarious.
That's how we do it on The Usual Suspects.
That's too
All
funny.
Right, one in the books, two to go, 2 hours left of the big show. Don't go anywhere. More in just minutes. ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
We'll be fine. Things are going well for me. I'm doing good. I have a girlfriend for this joke. So, yeah. She's easy. You guys wouldn't know if she goes to a different school. But, she's a great gal. She's at a different comedy competition. So, yeah, she couldn't make it. But it's good. I like to keep in shape for my girls. So, I go to the gym a lot. Not a lot, but... But I've peeked inside. I've seen it. I didn't like what I saw. It wasn't for me. I think what it was is I went at the wrong time. That's what it was. I went right off of work at like 5:30 p.m. You know, so the gym was packed. All the good machines were taken. So I just ended up doing Kegels for 45 minutes. Just blowing out my groin.
Good stuff.
Yeah, there you go. A lot more to come from Grady Pruitt with one more clip coming at 3:15. But good stuff from as a guy that you previewed a little bit before we started running the clips, an up-and-coming comic, winner of the 2017 Funniest Comic in Texas, amongst other things. Good stuff from him. So, Grady Pruitt.
Yep, indeed. Also... I mean, Clarence wants to talk party, so we're going to get to his call. But real quick, I just wanted to give us a couple of shout-outs. I got to meet Pete Rodriguez from Tune Up. They were in the house. They had all kind of cool swag for all the listeners. So it was nice to meet him. I also got to meet Jason with Habitat for Humanity. And it was really cool, man. Habitat for Humanity is one of those things I've always wanted to be a part of. I've always wanted to get involved with. So to get to meet Jason and his wife, Mary, was really cool. Got to chit-chat with them for a minute. They're doing some really cool stuff out there. So hopefully they get on board and we can develop a relationship, because it was really cool to hear what's going on out there. And even if they don't, it's one of those things, man. Because I told him I used to be a carpenter. He was like, what? I was like, yeah, long before I got into anything else, I used to be a carpenter and a painter and all that. So I would love to get involved with that again. So it was cool to meet him as well. So good times.
No doubt. All of our loyal partners were hanging around, which was very cool. And again, a lot of our suspects. So with that being said, Clarence was there. I saw Clarence. If it's possible for Clarence to blow by me a couple of times quickly.
Just ignoring you?
He was like.
Big league in
he
you?
Was like a pinball. I mean, he was bouncing around, yapping with people, yucking it up. And every time I turn around, he was just like, pew, right by me as he kept. Literally, the one time I saw him, I went, hey, Clarence, because that was it. He's out.
He's big time.
I was heading back to the poker room. He was like, hey, Clarence, pew. He just up there talking. And, man, I had a great time last night. First off, I want to thank y'all, Michelle, Gal Media, everyone. Even the wing guy, those were some delicious ass wings that we had last night. I want to thank everyone for putting that together, and I can't wait for the next one. Even the poker tournament where I won a Sears ticket. Yay.
Nice.
So yeah, it was a great time had by all. But one thing I was not doing, in what felt like 110 degree weather, it was playing Pop Shot with you, Barry, and that jank ass Pop Shot machine.
I didn't want to say it, but I didn't want to say it, but you did.
That started working, and all of a sudden it stopped working, and he goes bragging about beating Joel 25-0 and stuff.
Hey,
and you saw me killing him. Thank you.
It happened, Clarence. Hang up on Clarence. Get his ass out of here. I'm the Pop Shot champion, Clarence. Don't try to steal my victory.
And another thing, Barry, I was walking back from getting a drink, and I saw you, shake a guy's hand. He should have saw my face. I was like, what? Wait, what?
Uh-oh.
It was a sponsor.
Oh.
I said all along.
Be a sponsor. Yeah, he was up against the wall.
Was it a cowboy or an Indian?
Because people freaked out because I hugged Josh Rapp. I hugged Josh Rapp and the Popes. But, like, if I know you real well and I know you're not a dirty person, like, this, because the hug thing, I think, is a great bit for the show. Mm-hmm. But I'm not, like, that weird. But, like, I because when I hugged Josh, there was a bunch of us sitting around talking. Everybody's like, oh, snap! Oh!
Yeah,
like,
when I saw you deal. Shake the guy's hand and I was looking like, oh, he must be, okay, does he have plural in his pocket?
Oh, don't worry. I was hanging out with Walt and his wife, and she had the hand sanitizer.
Oh.
Walt told her. He was like, hey, I heard today, or she heard on the radio, that I had left my backpack with my hand sanitizer, so she brought some for me. I was like, oh, bless you. You are the MVP of the night.
Yes. Yeah, that's big time.
Yeah.
But, and then Joel, I have to agree with, from my point of view, what Joel said earlier at the show about the, I mean, what Barry said about the woman being super aggressive.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't all of them when he got drunk, but it was in an instance where Joel was by the Pop Shot machine, and his woman came like, hey, come on, let's play. Let's play. Come on. Okay, the night just got started. How many drinks did she have?
Clarence, was it the
Clarence,
blonde?
That was, yeah, it was Clarence? Britt. It was the same woman that when she was losing started throwing bows to my midsection and hip checks and stepping on my feet. I was like, it's not that serious.
And I thought she was going to lock you in a figure four for a moment.
Thank you. Yeah. And then Jerry, of all people. Jerry.
Jerry.
Is standing there supervising.
Jerry. Yeah. That was funny.
Jerry's standing next to the Papa Shot machine, and he's like, hey, oh, I think she just beat you by three, only they're counting by two. I don't know. I'm like, Jerry, go get some more food, bro. Shave your legs.
But like I said, y'all, I want to thank y'all for having me. I appreciate it. I enjoy it. And I cannot wait for the next one. Whatever y'all do, on location, it doesn't matter. I enjoyed meeting everyone that I met. Some cool people.
And Nick.
Hey, I enjoy everyone.
Well, we appreciate you, man.
Clarence, I was going to say, yeah, man, we appreciate you on a daily basis. You've been with us since the start, so we appreciate you.
We appreciate you listening. We appreciate you coming. We appreciate you being a part of it. Clarence, thank you so much, man.
No doubt. Good Absolutely, times. Yeah, definitely. And Chan says, blaming on the interns for breaking it. They were playing on the Papa Shot all day. How would you know?
Chan was here early.
How early?
Because Chan had lunch with us.
I know, but he didn't. He wasn't hanging out.
No,
outside.
He got here like in. He was out in the bullpen early because he was one of the part of the Blitz studio audience.
Raheel and I and Mike from Pick Me were playing horse. Then you guys were playing on it for a while.
I never touched it before the. I didn't warm up.
So
I
then
didn't
Nick
practice.
Was right. Your shot never happened.
Oh, well, there's that one that I took. Okay, I was warming up. I figured it out real. Like, at first, I was shooting, like, Nick was Mr. like form. Like, he would sit there and be like, all right, elbow in. I'm like, Nick, you got 30 seconds. He's like, elbow in at the top of the arc. Got to follow through with the wrist.
Jermaine like, Every, same way. Jermaine Every is looking like he's trying to shoot a video that they're going to sell, like, at late night TV. I'm going, bro, form means nothing.
I wasn't even underhanding. I was almost like, I don't know what you would call. I was just flicking
like
the ball.
Like a knuckleball wrist flick.
Yeah, just as many as I could get at the rim in 30 seconds.
That's
I didn't even care if they went in. I was just, it was volume for me. It was just all volume.
That's the key.
Yeah. But I looked up and even somebody joked. They were like, Nick, really? With the perfect form? He would make one. He would leave it up there for a minute with the arm.
Oh, with hand in the cookie jar.
Reggie Miller style. Just
hand
leave it up there.
That was you walking into the studio, leaving your hand up.
After I made the 3-point hook shot. Yeah, I was looking for you. I was like, where's Joel at? He needs to see this. And you weren't nowhere to be found. Yeah, that was a good time.
It was a lot of fun.
I'm glad that everybody had a good time.
No doubt. So again, coming up next on the show, Allison Craig's going to join us. Allison Craig is the defense attorney in Canada who's going to give us some insight into the Roberto Osuna case and some things that you might not have known in terms of how the legal proceedings will go up there, how long this thing could take, and the different things that have already kind of been said true or false about this case. Again, it's not a domestic abuse case. In case you don't know, it's a minor assault case. So we can have her break down some of that as well. If you do have some questions, you want to try and get them to us, we might be able to weed through one or two. Text us, tweet us, or, you know, again, we're not going to be able to take calls on this, but text us or tweet us. We'll try and get through them. We're at the midway point. Back with a whole lot more. It's the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, we're back on The Usual Suspects, just trying to connect, it should be just a minute or two, with Allison Craig. She is the defense attorney in Canada. That is the one that wrote the article that I posted about just some of the details of the Roberto Osuna case, so we can get some of these things cleared up to get people a little bit more clarity as to what's going on with this case, what could possibly happen with this case, and how it differs from the United States in terms of the details on, like I said, the big thing for me was right off the top, it's a minor assault charge, not a domestic abuse charge. But I think that it's going to be good because the read is great, but I think she can shed a little bit more light on what's going on with this. A
couple of texts while we wait. Somebody said, Keith said, the party looked fun. My observation from the pictures is, y'all need to run the weight loss challenge again. Keith, that's not very nice.
Wow.
That's kind of mean, bro. Like, I hope you're skinny, Keith. I do. That was nasty.
All right, without further ado, we're going to get to some more of the texts and the tweets. But I do want to welcome in Allison Craig. I did mention to you that she's a criminal defense lawyer, a huge sports fan, and she is a someone with some knowledge of what's going on in Canada. She's a big Blue Jays fan. By the way, she's in Seattle right now. The Blue Jays did us a big favor last night, beating the Mariners. But she is here to tell us a little bit more background and shed some light on this Roberto Osuna case. Allison, appreciate you spending some time. Again, we've been talking about this. I retweeted the article. Great article with a lot of great insight on it.
My pleasure, guys.
So without further ado, right off the top, and again, I encourage everybody to check out the actual article. It's a lawyer's take on the Osuna case, and you can get it at jaysfromthecouch.com. That's J-A-Y-S fromthecouch.com. But just give the listeners here in Houston a little bit of an explanation of the difference in Canada between the assault charge that Osuna is facing and a lot of people that are on the subject of domestic violence and what possibly could have gone down with this case.
Well, it's important to realize, and I don't want to be taken as minimizing anything. I should say that from the start. But there's different levels of assault charges here. So simple assault, which is what he is charged with, is the lowest level. And again, I don't want to minimize anything, but it goes up from there. So after simple assault, you can get to assault with a weapon and then up to aggravated assault. So simple assault is the lowest end of the spectrum. And, you know, certainly it can include physical violence. But an example I often use, because I want people to keep an open mind until facts are known, is one of the very first cases I ever did as a lawyer was assault with a weapon, to wit, a zucchini, which was my client was alleged to have chucked a zucchini across the kitchen about two feet away from his wife's head, and that was an assault. So I just think it's important for people to keep an open mind. It doesn't necessarily mean gratuitous violence.
Yeah, and there were other things that you pointed out in the article, which, again, really well written, by the way, and it was refreshing to see just some kind of factual information about, because, you know, down here in America, our court system is obviously completely different than what you guys have in Canada, including the fact that we may never really know the truth or the details of the case, because in Canada, they do a pretty good job of protecting the victims or alleged victims of violence, domestic violence and assault charges. So we may never really get all of the details. Is that correct?
I think it's likely you will never get all the details. When we get disclosure from the Crown, which is a copy of the evidence that we as lawyers get, we actually have to sign undertakings that we will never release it to any third parties. That includes, you know, the client's family, other lawyers, nobody. So it is very, very highly protected. So you probably will never learn most of the details.
Wow. So, okay, then with that being said, and I guess that you guys should be thankful there's no TMZ in Canada. but with that being said, when you look at the case, the curiosity that everybody has here is obviously the baseball perspective and more. But from the baseball perspective, they suspended this guy for 75 games. And we made mention of the fact that past precedents – Aroldis Chapman strangled his girlfriend, shot a gun right by the side of her head 8 times, got 30 games. So does that not – I think the misconception or conception that's out there from people is that there's where there's smoke, there's fire, and there's a lot of fire when a guy got a 75-game suspension. What was your thoughts on all that?
There's a couple of things I would say. My understanding is that Roberto Osuna did not – I don't like saying cooperate, but did not speak to Major League Baseball. I could be wrong, but that's my understanding. And that may well have been on good legal advice. If he was my client, I probably would have said to him, look, your criminal case has a bigger impact on your long-term career than this does. And until the criminal case is concluded, I don't think you should be speaking to Major League Baseball. So while he accepted the penalty, he didn't accept the findings from Major League Baseball, and I think that's important. And what his lawyer said was, look, he accepted the penalty because if he had waited until the criminal case was concluded, he would have been out of baseball for a lot longer than if he had just accepted the penalty and got back into the game, which he's going to do now in a week or so. So I don't know what baseball made their findings based on, but I don't think it was necessarily the full picture.
Okay.
And the other thing I would say, which I think is important, is that although the case hasn't been concluded yet, all signs are pointing to the fact that what is going to happen is he's going to sign a peace bond. And what that means is you basically enter into a contract with the court for a year, and you say, I promise that I'm going to keep the peace and be of good behavior for a year. And as soon as you enter into that, all of the criminal charges are withdrawn. And I do a lot of work out of the exact same office where Roberto Osuna is charged. And although, you know, lawyer caveat, there's exceptions to every rule, generally speaking, if it's a particularly serious assault or if there is a history, like a pattern of domestic violence, the Crown Attorney's Office will not agree to a peace bond. So I think those are two important things to keep in mind.
So now you're a huge Blue Jays fan, and from a fan's perspective, what was it like when this happened? And do you feel like maybe there, you know, because obviously down here in Houston, everybody was freaking out and, man, what's going on? Why are the Astros doing this? Was there the same kind of reaction against the Blue Jays for even keeping him as long as they did? And what was kind of the sentiment around Toronto in regards to the whole situation?
It was the exact same thing. It was very divided. Half of the fans, said, give the guy a chance. We don't know the facts. Let's wait and see, you know, what actually happened. And half of the fans said, forget it. I never want to see this guy on the field again. Fire his butt immediately. It was very divided. Seems like the same in Houston.
As a lawyer and a fan, do you think that the Astros took a calculated risk, and maybe they, because the GM down here, Jeff Luhnow, said that they had done an unprecedented amount of due diligence. Do you think that they took a leap of faith, or that maybe that they did take a calculated risk and might be, you know, come out not looking as bad as people think so far?
I think they may come out not looking as bad as people think so far. There were some interesting comments from, I think it may have been John Gibbons that said it, talking about having empathy for Roberto Osuna. And we know that he's got a history of mental illness of some sort. The details we don't know, but he struggled with it last year. And we know that since this, he's been going through counseling. And so I, you know, given what I know about how peace bonds work, which is generally that it's not granted when there's a history of violence, given what we know about his struggles with mental illness, given John Gibbons' use of the word empathy and the importance of having empathy for Roberto Osuna, which I don't think he would say if this was just some, you know, hot-headed, gratuitous domestic violence incident, I think there's a good possibility that the Astros may not look so bad at the end of this.
Wow.
That's very interesting stuff. Again, Allison Craig, defense lawyer in Canada, giving us a little bit of the background story on everything with the Roberto Osuna case. You can imagine, Allison, the people that are, from the time the trade was made, that are analyzing this in their head, drawing their own conclusions, obviously, on both sides of the fence. But again, kind of piggybacking on what Barry said, too, your overall perception of everything as an attorney, as a female, as a baseball fan, as you look at this, what was your initial reaction? And then what, again, just to kind of recap, what do you think the end result is going to be?
My initial reaction, I have to be honest, was my baseball fan reaction, which is, you know, oh my God, this is the most important guy on our team, and what's going to happen to the Blue Jays now? But as I've thought about it, and listen to, you know, what's being said behind the scenes, such as John Gibbons talking about empathy and that kind of thing. And you have to keep in mind that Rogers which owns the Blue Jays, it's a publicly traded company. So they are very cognizant of, you know, this kind of thing and how it projects on the team. And so I really don't think Gibbons et al. Would be using those kinds of firms if there wasn't, you know, good base to do so. I think what's going to happen is he's going to enter into a peace bond. All the criminal charges are going to be withdrawn. I think it'll come out that he's been engaged in some pretty significant counseling and approving of himself and dealing with his issues. And I think he's going to be a big help to the Astros, and I hope the fans give him a chance. in my world as a criminal defense lawyer, the public just sees the charge and the allegations, but I dig deeply into the people that are behind the charge and the allegations, and I really hope that the Astros fans will give him a chance.
Well, listen, you guys are getting Ken Giles in the trade, and I wanted you to be aware, especially since you're a lawyer, that he did drop the charges against himself when he punched himself in the face on the way off the field once. So if he does decide to press charges again, he might need some representation for himself.
I'll make sure to
himself.
Get him my card.
Okay, good. Yeah. And listen, how excited are you about Vlad Guerrero Jr.? How is that all the buzz right now up there?
It is all the buzz. It is crazy. I mean, there's floods of people going across the border now to see him in Buffalo. And, you know, the Jays are god-awful this year, so yeah. We need something to be excited about. So it's great. It's Vladdy Guerrero everywhere.
And don't forget Yuli Gurriel's brother, because the Astros wanted him too. But it seems like that kid's going to be pretty darn good as well.
He is. He's setting records.
Yeah,
indeed.
So far, so good.
Well, we appreciate you, Allison Craig. Check her out. Law and Chocolate on Twitter.
Nice.
But great insight, Allison. Great article. We retweeted it. We appreciate you. Enjoy your vacation and keep those Jays winning in Seattle.
Will do. Thanks, guys.
Thank you so much.
There you go. That was good stuff.
Yeah.
And speaking of good stuff, let's get even more good stuff. Let's bring the Blummer on.
Yeah.
Let's get Jeff Blum from Hollywood in L.A. next as he talks Astros Dodgers in the weekend. That's the way we do it. It's an FEF Friday. It's the usual suspects, ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, we're back on The Usual Suspects. Let's not waste another minute because we got to get Blummer in here. We're running a little behind. We appreciate Allison Craig's time talking about the Roberto Osuna case. Blummer returning to the scene of the crime, but not a crime, a celebration, as the World Series rematch takes place starting tonight at Dodger Stadium with a very much tuned-up and different Dodger team. But Blummer, great to have you with us. Thanks so much for joining us. Your initial thoughts, because obviously with the day off yesterday too, on just the way the Astros have handled this so far and your kind of take on the Osuna trade.
I think it's pretty obvious what their intention was. The intention was to make a baseball move. I think the peripheral repercussions are something that they're going to have to deal with, knowing that the guy that they're trading for is on a suspended list, one of the longest suspensions for domestic abuse in Major League Baseball history, and there is history with Aroldis Chapman being another guy who was picked up by the Cubs and won a World Series championship and then went back to the New York Yankees. But I also feel that Major League Baseball, not just the Astros, but the Major League Baseball needs to make some adjustments as far as, you know, consequences and things like that. We were just in Seattle, and it's just interesting to think that Major League Baseball thinks that doing PEDs should take you out of the postseason, but domestic abuse doesn't. So I think that a little bit harsher rule would be in play and maybe make some of these trades a little more, you make them different in the sense that they may not want to pick up a guy who's going to be suspended for a postseason as opposed to just picking up a guy for the last part of the season. I think it's a tough call just because baseball is a game and there are some life situations that are really, really terrible and awful, and domestic abuse for me is one of those things that I think is terrible and awful. And again, we don't have all the information, but we're going to try and get as much as we can and treat it like so when it does come out. But it's a tough line to toe when you're trying to make a baseball move with somebody that has supposedly checkered history.
Jeff, what's your sense of the clubhouse and how the players on this team are handling it or handled it when they found out?
It's going to be interesting. I know that this is, you know, one of the more special clubhouses in all of baseball, and it kind of happened inadvertently. They got good talent, but it also turned out to be good character guys, and there's going to be some tough decisions for these guys in that clubhouse. I've been in clubhouses in my career, and I've been around situations where there have been allegations. I've been in situations where there have been guys who have been you know, where they where they've had these situations, and I've also been around steroid users and things like that. But usually, when you have somebody that has done something that you don't agree with, you treat it as a business professional and you compete and you go home. You don't hang around this guy. You don't do things like that. There's a real separation in that clubhouse sometimes, but I'm not sure how this clubhouse is going to react. It'll, you'll just have to wait and see until Osuna gets in there, because these guys are a different breed. They're compassionate. They love to win, and but now they're being tested as far as, you know, some of the issues off the field that they're going to have to deal with.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask as well. I was interested in the locker room dynamic, because we know McCullers and Verlander have been outspoken about being against domestic violence, and they came out pretty strong on Twitter, as they should. But again, being tested, we mentioned that. Let's get to a little bit on the field as well. The Stros were tested a little bit going into that Seattle series, especially dropping the first one, and people started to think, uh-oh, look out. Now the Mariners could really close the gap by the end of this thing, but they came back strong. They've done it without Springer after he got hurt in the first inning of the second game, and Altuve and Correa. What does that say about the overall make? I mean, your guy, Jake from Rake Farm, comes back and right off the top goes yard, and they put 15 hits and a whole bunch of runs on the Mariners in the last game. But that was a statement in itself that this team is still very capable of doing a lot of good stuff.
No, I completely agree. And, you know, fortunately, the injuries that Springer, Altuve, Correa, you know, Correa's been off on the disabled list a little bit longer than we had hoped, but he's working himself back. He should be able to get a good couple of months in before the postseason happens for the Astros. But when you have your horses like that, the Springer, Altuve, Correa's, I mean, that is the top three-fourths of your lineup, and that is a huge portion to miss out on. But you want to be able to get and maximize, you know, some potential and depth in sporadic moments. You're not going to get that consistent volume of production like you get from those three guys that I talked about. But if you can get some occasional blasts of greatness from some of these guys who fill in for them, and just kind of, you know, keep the status quo and play some 500 baseball until those guys get back, that's where your team really says that it has depth and creates that. And I think they did a good job those last two games in Seattle. I would be remiss to say that, you know, bringing Jake back into the mix definitely brings a different level of excitement in that clubhouse. They thoroughly enjoy having that guy around.
Jeff Blum joins us on the HRMP hotline. Jeff, my question for you about the Osuna trade from a baseball perspective is there's not enough room in the bullpen. Somebody's probably going to have to go for a few weeks until September call-ups. Speculate on who you think that might be. That's going to be a tough choice for AJ Hinch.
It's going to be a crazy tough choice. I'm not sure. I know that I just saw on Twitter that a couple of people came out and said that Devo's going on the DL with I'm not sure what he went on the deal with, to be honest with you. But I know CNL Perez is coming back. So the logical choice in the next 10 days is that CNL Perez will be the guy on the shuttle that's going back and forth. But once Devo becomes healthy, then what do you do? And I'm not entirely sure, because it's been a pretty good mix of Rondon being the closer. McHugh has been a phenomenal setup guy. Joe Smith is a guy who's stepped up here in recent outings, done a very good job. Will Harris has been a little rocky a little bit, but in his last couple outings been very good. And the bullpen pitched great in the last two games in Seattle, keeping that lead for the Astros. And Brad Peacock and the new guy, Ryan Presley, who looks phenomenal to me, by the way, with his fastball curveball mix. So I'm incredibly happy that I can just kind of speculate and wonder with all the other guys. I'm glad I don't have AJ's job, because it's a good problem to have so many guys out there that are good, but somebody's going to have to make room for Osuna, but I'm not sure who it's going to be, to be honest.
I would warn the clubhouse, Blummer. I've heard these exotic bugs bite hard, and they can put guys on the DL for quite a while. So just make sure you give everybody a heads up and wear plenty of repellent, because those things can do some damn damage.
Yeah. You know, the exotic, anything exotic can be either very good or very bad.
Very, very true. Are you looking forward to seeing the wave tonight at Dodger Stadium, just quickly?
I can't stand the wave, even if it's at Dodger Stadium.
I feel you, brother. Have a great call tonight. You can catch Blummer on the show and on the games with TK on the AT&T Sportsnet line. So catch him watching some Dodgers baseball against the Astros tonight. Should be fun. Jeff, as always, thanks for joining us.
No, it's going to be great. Thanks for having me on, fellas.
There you go, Jeff Blum. We continue to stack them and rack them for you. Final hour of the show is right around the corner. Don't go anywhere. More of the usual suspects in minutes right here on ESPN 97.5. To God, to justice, Father, we live a lie, live a lie, live a lie. And you take your time, and you do your crime.
Hello, America. It's your new favorite podcast here.
Yes, it's James and Andy, two fourths of the British podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. We do facts. We do weird facts, fun facts, facts you've never heard before. James, give us a fact.
Did you know you may be able to cure chronically blocked noses with a snot transplant?
Lovely, lovely facts.
If you want to hear us, go to wherever you get your podcasts and search for No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. We'll see you there.